Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Audio courtesy of Bally Sports. I never thought I'd hear that music again.
It's been a long time.
Oh my God. Oh, it was as down and out as it possibly 5-2 yesterday. It was as down and out as it possibly could be.
I thought they were dead and buried.
He finally got one to go his way. He ran Tanner Bibee out there for another inning. Probably shouldn't have done it. Probably or shouldn't have done it. Which one? Shouldn't have done it?
Shouldn't have done it.
Shouldn't have done it.
Shouldn't have done it.
Shouldn't have done it. And it ended up going very poorly for him. And it was just like, man, they're going to get swept. I can't believe this. They're going to get swept. This is terrible. We lost the lead in the division. And then the seventh inning comes around, and you just heard that. And Danny texted us and said, did they save their season? Did the Guardians save their season? Now, last week, some of you driving in, you guys are going to roll your eyes. Because last week, I had said after the Yankees game, the Yankees win in the bottom of the 10th, that the Guardians had saved their season. And then they proceeded to go out there and lose and then beat Texas, which people didn't really care about. And then we saw what obviously happened here with Kansas City. And so when you sent that, I was like, well, if you say it too much, Danny Cunningham in for Tone today. I said, if you say it too much, I'm talking to myself here, then it loses its meaning. And I went, well, also, this is the interesting thing of it too, is that I've long said a baseball season is like a life. It's young. It starts out with promise. It can go one of two ways. And most of us are going, hey, you know, there's usually a 1% that is a champion. And the rest of us, we're going, hey, we either had a nice season or, oh, God, what a disappointment. Brian had so much promise. And then you see what happened here. What has gone astray? What
could have happened? Somebody.
And it could have been the Guardians, where it's like, man, everything was going good, and then Bill got that divorce, and holy cow, he's eating dog food in a van down by the river. And you talk about that, and I said, well, you could have your life saved more than once in a life. People say they have 9 lives.
Right.
So did the Guardians, again, save their season yesterday? And you know, Mitch asked the question, sub-question, does style count? Had they just won 4-3, does it mean as much as what they did yesterday?
I don't think the final score matters. I think how they won matters. Like, they could have won 4-3 if they were down 4-0 or 4-1 and came back, or 3-0, I should say, and came back to win. I think it counts the same as winning 7-5. Mm-hmm. They needed a come from behind win. They needed a little bit of late game magic, because that is not something other than that Yankees game you brought up that they won in extra innings last week or 2 weeks ago or however long ago it was at this point, they've not had days like that. They've fallen behind early, and it has felt hopeless. Like when Tanner Bibee gave up a home run on the first batter of the game yesterday and then gave up another home run one batter later, I felt like this just feels like I'm watching a team on their deathbed. It feels like it was, one, a chore to watch because you felt like you knew the outcome of that game. Watching that, I'm just like, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours watching a team that just is raising the white flag. That's how it felt. And then I got pulled into a meeting around 2 o'clock, 2:30 yesterday. And I came back. They were down 5-3. When I went in the meeting, it was 3-1. When I came back, they were down 5-3. I'm just like, what happened, man? And then I watched the comeback happen. Like, I could not believe what they were able to pull off in the bottom of that seventh inning. I could not believe it.
For me, it went different. They were down 5-2, and I did a an interview with a fine man named Quincy Carrier, and I got done with the interview. It was only like 20 minutes. It was only 20 minutes. They were down 5-2. And then I came out, and I went, well, let's take a look at this. See how bad it's got. And I looked at my phone. I looked up at the TV and went, holy Toledo. They're up 6-5. And then they made it 7-5 in the next inning. And it was just, it was beautiful. And I'm thinking, man, this is like a sweet breath of air. Like they needed this. It does feel like they saved a lot of things. And you go in the grand scheme of things, it's only one game. I understand that. But with the way they do it, I do think that actually style counts in a lot of ways. I think Mitch is right. I'm looking for any win you could possibly get. But I do think in that moment, it's like, hey, man, like, yeah, you can make some things happen for you. You had this team, Kansas City, they were high-flying. They were high-fiving each other. Bobby Witt was loving every minute of it. Everything was going well for him. And then you were able to come back from behind and beat that baseball team and take the lead back in the division, even though technically with the tiebreaker you might be tied. But either way, go ahead.
I think that, the style points here mattered because if you look at the way they won on Saturday, where it was a 13-5 win over Texas, they could say in that locker room, or that clubhouse, I guess I should say, and maybe the other team just had a bad day. What they did yesterday was they gave themselves a reason to believe in themselves again. And that is something that I think has been missing. I don't think they've had a lot of reasons to believe that they can come from behind and win games. I don't think they've had a lot of reasons to believe lately that they're a good baseball team, which we both know they are. And I think yesterday is something they will be able to pull from in the upcoming weeks is saying, you know what? We're not out of these games if we fall down early. We can do this because the other thing you have to mention here too, Kansas City's got a good bullpen. It's not like they came back and had a come-from-behind win over a bad team. That is a very good baseball team with a good bullpen. Now, did their manager make a mistake in leaving the starter out there an inning too long? Probably. But sometimes you do need a lucky break to go your way, and the Guardians have been overdue for that.
We have been leaving guys out and kind of giving everybody else a lucky break. So I'm fine with being lucky yesterday to get the lead back in the division. And with everybody else kind of settling down and doing what they had done, where it's like, all right, like you'd given up what you'd given up with Tanner Bibee, but Tim Herron, Eli Morgan, I think Hunter Gaddis made that appearance in that game, did a fine enough job after the tater he gave up the day before. And then Emmanuel Clase, which somebody, I'm sorry to this person. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I thought that they, 6:09 and 32 seconds for those scoring at home. Air_Lund. I thought he was a bot because there's all those gambling bots out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought he was a bot. And it just kept saying 35-1, 25-1, 20-1. And it was the odds for Emmanuel Clase. Like I was about to block it because I thought he was just one of those gambling bots.
Right.
And it's like 20-1. I'm going 20. Emmanuel Clase, Cy Young, 20-1. Down to 20-1 for Emmanuel Clase.
He's not going to win it, and it's unfortunate because, and I get why.
Well, why?
Because he only pitches one inning a night. But, Ken, I don't think there's a better pitcher in baseball than Emmanuel Clase. I think he is the best pitcher in the game of baseball. He is the most dominant player that we have right now in baseball. When he comes out, he does his job every single time. You can talk about Aaron Judge. You can talk about Shohei Ohtani. There is not someone that is better at what they do right now in the game of baseball than Emmanuel Clase. There's not.
Well, if he's the best pitcher in baseball, then he should win the Cy Young. That's how the Cy Young goes.
I agree, but that's not going to happen. The Writers are not going to vote for a guy that only pitches 65 innings or whatever it's going to end up, 70 innings, whatever it's going to end up being. They're going to give it to a starter that hits 200 innings, and I get that, but Emmanuel Clase is the best pitcher in baseball. You cannot convince me otherwise.
So somebody can be, I mean, this is going to get dark real quick, but I compare baseball, a baseball season to life. You can have your win, you can have your life saved multiple times. You can have your life extended a couple of times. Ah, they got out of it, but they still, you know, they got a lot of hoops they got to jump through there. Because you got Pittsburgh coming to town tomorrow. Now, Pittsburgh sucks and has been terrible over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
To the point where they want their manager fired. They want their general manager fired over there. And you know, they got Paul Skenes, got O'Neill Cruz, who they had in a different position playing defense yesterday. But they gave up, what was it, a 10-1 lead?
No, they were up 10-3 in the seventh inning and lost 13-10.
No, that's 14-10. 14-10. You're off by a run. There was a lot of runs scored there.
But I know they were up by 7 and lost.
Yes.
They were up by 7 in the seventh inning and lost, which is something that had not happened in years across baseball.
Do I say that this is where the Pirates just give up? They're 62-71. Or do I say, well, like, it doesn't really happen that way all the time, so now I got to be careful on tomorrow. I think you just have to be careful for every game.
I mean, you have to play every game. And I know we've talked about this all week because of Austin Hedges' comments earlier this season, but you do have to play every game like a playoff game because at this point, Ken, they are playoff games. All of these games matter more than the games did in April and May and June. They do.
And especially against the Pirates, you got to put some hay in the barn here because this will be the most critical sequence coming up to finish the year.
Well, because you look at what they have after Pittsburgh, where they go to KC, they go to LA to take on the Dodgers. I know they've got the White Sox coming up. Which
they're not good against the White Sox.
For whatever reason, they can't beat the worst team in baseball history consistently.
But you got three against Kansas City. You got three against the Dodgers team that it's. I know they're a National League team, but they still count against you. And I think that they're an almost 80 winner, 78 or 80 or 79 wins. I mean, they're a good team in their own right. So you got Kansas City that's right there with you for a three-game set to start off next week. And I know we're playing the schedule game. Then you go to L.A. That's West Coast time. Then you come back to Chicago, so it feels like a reprieve. Yeah, that's a nine-game road trip. I think it's 10 days. That's a nine-game road trip. That's going to be grueling for everybody involved. So, gosh, it is. I don't know who the hell Kansas City has here. They're at Houston for this weekend, I believe, and that starts today.
Well, just looking at strength of schedule, Ken, because you know I've been
Of course you have.
Staying up
You've
on it.
You've been the maven.
It is. The Guardians have fallen all the way down 21st in strength of schedule, which is great for them.
That is good.
And the Royals are sixth still. So just looking at those things, the numbers on paper, said, though, we can't beat the White Sox right now. So I don't know how much that really matters, but
the Royals have Pittsburgh. Detroit's actually been very good over the month of August.
Yeah, they're above 500 again.
The Tigers later on, I mean, they start out this run here with Houston for four. Then they have us at home, right? Then they're in their mix with Pittsburgh is still New York, still Atlanta is in that mix.
They've still got the Twins. They've still got the Astros. They still got,
Washington is not good. And if I'm not mistaken, San Francisco is not. San Francisco's 500. Never mind.
It has it separated toughest opponents, easiest opponents. The Royals only have the Nationals and the Pirates left on their schedule that are considered easy opponents. Everything else is going to be a tough.
You're just doing the report from now on. I'm not going to try to make heads or tails of this on the fly. You're going to give the report on the strength of schedule.
Tankathon.com, baby.
Gardo's Tankathon. It's got everything you need. But just listen to me here. The White Sox. Gardo's got White Sox, Pirates, Reds, Cardinals, Rays. Those are all considered easy games for them.
That is.
It doesn't mean they're winning those games, but they seem to struggle against the easy opponents.
But do you think, let me ask you this, do you think style counted yesterday? I think to the fans it does.
Do you right not now, think- no, I don't think yesterday it mattered for style. I don't think style mattered. I think W's, that's all we needed right now. We needed to not leave that series behind the Royals.
It's not a
and they pulled that off.
Yeah, it's not a satisfying series. And I like you're going to take any win you can get, but I do think it feels a little bit better than the way they
honestly, guys, I didn't see it. I had things going on. I was trying to help my mom with the car. Danny texts and says, did they save the season? I'm like, well, I guess I go to the DVR. And I go back and watch it. I'm like, holy crap.
It was a cat's ass. It was cat's ass.
I could not believe it. I don't even know
how down I've been on them at the beginning of the week. If I would have been whooping it up on the couch, maybe it matters time of day type of thing. But
I said, I got out of the truck and I'm going to the TV station and I know it's going to be on. I go, well, I got no other choice. I have to sit here and watch this. I felt like a Clockwork Orange. And I got to watch this go down, and they're down 5-2. And I'm like, all right, let me do this interview. It was fun to interview. And then after I came out of the interview, they're up 6-5, and then I had to go back and watch the tape, and then I'm watching the rest of it as it goes on, and I'm going, this is fantastic. Everybody's feeling great. I'm feeling great. Guardians fans are feeling great. We're back on top in the Central Division. But it is just one game. But you do have a big, long road trip coming up to start off the month of September where – I do think that road trip in itself, I know you have the White Sox at the end of it.
It's the last real road trip, though, of the season. Really they go to St. Louis for, three, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I really think that might be the make-or-break part of the entire year. Not, I mean, I still think they can make the postseason, but as far as, giving them any sort of a chance to make any sort of a run whatsoever, some people have already made their decision fine, but I think that to have any sort of a chance whatsoever, that's the make-or-break series. They're make or break stretch of your
road
season.
Trip, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird they go out west for three games. Like they have to go all the way to Los Angeles and only play the Dodgers. They don't have to spend any more time.
Nope.
And, you know, maybe that is a good thing. Maybe, Ken, you can speak better to this because you just spent 36 hours on the West Coast.
Yeah, but
and how that
I've only
you.
Done it once.
Right.
And but, I'm still, because, you just don't get any chances to catch up. And so I'm still grinding. So I'm still got the coffee shakes at 5:30 in the morning. And I got the coffee shakes at 6. And I got even worse shakes coming up at 9 o'clock. But either way, go ahead.
I think it is a good thing for them that they don't have to spend a ton of time out west. I hope if they can't, and I hate to look this far ahead, but if they do just solid, keep their heads above water out west and then come back and can't sweep the White Sox, I'm going to be real mad. I'm going to be real mad if they can't find a way to beat the bad teams on their schedule that are left. They have to sweep this weekend. They have to sweep this weekend. And you have to take care of business.
Also, Steve,
it's still there.
Two things.
Still there for you.
Two little addendums here. Stephen Kwan back over 300 to 301. Josh Naylor 3-for-5. Needed that like
we've
he needed
been down
it.
On Kwan. You know, I was down on him saying that he was batting 197 going into yesterday.
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break, I'd like to announce that since yesterday, Stephen Kwan batting 500.
Whoa.
I actually saw good at bats yesterday from Josh Naylor for the first time in a month.
I thought a lot of guys had good at bats. Now, yes. Naylor had what I thought was a really bad at bat early on in the game, but he stepped up big when they needed it late.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Gardo's winners yesterday, thank God. They came back from a 5-2 deficit. They ended up winning the game 7-5. RBIs happening from Josh Naylor. RBIs from Stephen Fry. Bo Naylor hit a home run and had an RBI. It was fantastic. Andres Jimenez had an RBI. Stephen Kwan had an RBI. John Kenzie Noel had an RBI. And Emmanuel Clase tied the all-time Guardian save record. Stephen Vogt says simply he's the best in the game.
He's one of the best in the game right now, if not the best. I think he's the best. But the attitude at which he takes the ball every night, I mean, even in the game the other night in the doubleheader, you know, picks up the team and throws a huge inning and is able to keep them off the scoreboard in a very non-leveraged situation. Doesn't matter when we give this guy the ball, he goes out and pitches to the best of his ability every time.
Right now, 20-1 to win the Cy Young.
There's not a better pitcher in baseball. He's not going to win the Cy Young because he's a closer. And I do think when you're a closer, you need a lackluster year from basically every starter to be even put in the conversation. Ooh. But the fact that we are talking about him says about how great he is. He is having, Ken, one of the best seasons ever in baseball history by a reliever. What he's doing is incredible.
What if they vote at the end of the year? They vote at the end of the regular season. What about when they vote at the end of the regular season and they've made some run? Like, remember the Guardians years ago had to win like 10 in a row to get in the postseason. They did it.
Yeah.
Back when they were the Indians, I'm sorry. What if something like that happens with Emmanuel Clase? I'm just trying to find scenarios where he could actually get it. Like, last year, I didn't think Kevin Stefanski up until like the very end of the season. I'm like, nah, D'Amico Ryans is going to win it or someone else
until
is going to win coach
the
of the year.
Until
they beat the Texans. And then it was, all right, Kevin Stefanski is going to be coach of the year.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I do think that if Emmanuel Clase keeps this up now, part of it is the Guardians need to put him in these situations, because he can be awesome, but he also, it's not as if no matter what, he's going out there every fifth day and getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he needs to be put in the situation. The team needs to put him in the situation to go out and close games, because while I don't think the writers that vote on these awards care about saves as much as they used to care about saves, I think he probably needs to be past 45, probably needs to be closer to 50. To really start to be considered for a lot of these guys. And I do think that there are writers out there that are not going to vote him as the Cy Young just because he's a reliever, just because he's not taking the ball every fifth day, because he's not going to pitch even 100 innings, where whoever wins the Cy Young, I bet, is probably going to have 200 innings pitched.
Ah.
And I think that's a big deal for a lot of people that vote on this award.
Moving forward, I've told the story about my cousin Ricky teaching me how to rebuild a carburetor. Owen remembers that story.
It's one of the best ever.
If you want to know what Cousin Ricky looks like, I want you to look up Luke Travers, because that's what my Cousin Ricky looked like. And he just signed a two-way deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Danny, you're the host of Locked On Cavs. Describe the impact.
So I do think that Luke has a skill set that can translate to the NBA. I think that he's obviously played in... So he's played professionally...
I hope it could translate to the NBA.
Well, no, but I think a lot of times when you have guys on two-way slots, it doesn't always do that.
Really?
You're taking shots on guys. I think he is going to be one of the better two-way players in basketball. Mm-hmm. And by two-way players, I mean a guy on a two-way contract slot,
not
offense and defense. I think that he brings, and you've seen this if you've watched the Cavs summer league team, he brings a bit of organization. He brings a bit of just like kind of the adult in the room at times on those types of teams. I think he will be better in the NBA than he has been overseas and in summer league, because I do believe that at times he's the type of player that can be a product of his environment, if you will, where there are guys that are elevated by other players because their skill set can really shine when they're put into good spots as opposed to creating good spots themselves. I think Luke Travers is that type of guy. Now, I'm not entirely sold on the shooting. If he becomes a guy that you can count on as a three-point shooter, he's going to be an awesome role player. He's going to be an awesome seventh guy for a really good basketball team, whether it's the Cavs or somebody else. If he doesn't, I still think he's got a role in the NBA, but it's probably like the ninth or tenth guy.
Okay. I like hearing that. Browns signed 13 to their practice squad yesterday. Juwan Briggs, a late draft pick by the Cleveland Browns, I think sixth round. He was signed to the practice squad as a defensive tackle. Some of the other names that stood out, Justin Hardy from Glenville, cornerback. He is on the practice squad now. Rex Sunahara, long snapper from Bay Village. Congratulations on all his success. He is also on the Browns practice squad. James Prochet, who might be my favorite Cleveland Brown because he shook my son's hand, he is on the practice squad. Jermaine Ifedi, who was playing left tackle against the Seattle Seahawks, which we had callers still insisting even yesterday that Deshaun Watson should have played in that game behind Jermaine Ifedi. He is on the practice squad right now. Jalen Christopher Darden, he is signed to the practice squad as a wide receiver. And Roy Mbetika, the International Player Pathway Program tackle, is on the practice squad as well. So you got 13 that are on the practice squad. Michael Woods II is also on the practice squad, and it seems, according to Adam Schefter, Mike Ford is going to be coming back. He is signed to the Browns practice squad. I don't really need a take on that if you have one.
Were you surprised by any of the names? I'll ask you. Were you surprised that they brought all those?
Because
all of them were in camp here, except for Mike Ford.
I was more surprised a couple of the names that were left off, like Zaire Mitchell-Payton. They really liked him. They loved him on special teams. I thought for sure he would be on there. By the way, the Deontay Foreman thing, I think a couple years ago or last year, remember Mo Hurst? He didn't make the 53-man roster, and there was a lot of like, ooh, why didn't Mo Hurst make that? And then it was like, well, there's this loophole.
Because he's a vested veteran.
Yeah,
we can sign
him to something different.
Basically, what I think they did with Hurst was they cut him so they could keep someone on their 53-man roster that they had to put on injured reserve. But there was like a wink and a nod that as soon as that roster spot opened back up, Mo Hurst would be getting a contract.
So I am speculating. I'm glad you explained that. I'm speculating. I think the same thing's going to happen with Deontay Foreman here.
Okay.
As I think by next week, Deontay Foreman will be a Cleveland Brown.
Well, I mean, they cannot.
Maybe by today.
They cannot go into September 8th with only two running backs. I don't think they can go into September 8th.
I don't think they can go into practice today with only two running backs.
I think that's fair, too. I don't think they can go into next week with four quarterbacks. I don't think they can do it with two running backs either. I think you need three of each.
Can one of those quarterbacks move to running back?
Theoretically, maybe.
What is this, high school football here?
We got athletes on the field.
That is true. You need some athletes out there.
We got to get them out there.
Got to find a place for you.
Instead of trading Tyler Huntley somewhere else, they're going to trade him to running back.
Well, they did it with Elijah Moore last year.
Yeah, but that'd be the same principle. Oh, it is, because we always say every NFL player, basically 99 of 100 NFL players, no matter what position they play in the NFL, played college or played high school quarterback. All of them. Unless you're from Florida, Ohio, Texas, maybe California, California is a vast state.
If you are...
Texas is a vast state.
Sure, I think...
Florida's actually vast, too, when you think about it. Okay, Ohio or Pennsylvania? There you go.
I think it's more likely you played quarterback in these two states, in Ohio and PA, than it is Florida, Texas, California, if you make it to the NFL. I think it's way more likely.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. You probably played it.
Yeah, I think like it's less... If you're a receiver...
No, wait, hold on. No, I take that back. I think there's more... I think because there's more... More schools, more people, they probably played more quarterback.
I don't. I think that there are, I think, like receivers in the NFL right now. So you're saying if you are a wide receiver in the NFL right now, it is more likely you played wide receiver in high school in Ohio and Pennsylvania than it is Florida, California, Texas. Is that what you're saying?
I would say still no. No, take that back. Because I'm thinking about Texas is such a large state, so is Florida and California. But I would say that that's different. So I would say most guys in most – like we always bring it up where J.C. Treader played quarterback. And a lot of guards played quarterback. I never asked Joel Petonio if he played quarterback.
Probably. At some point, I bet he did.
At some point, he probably played QB.
So, like, just to relate this to me coaching.
Maybe it is different now, though. The, I mean, JC's retired.
The kid who would be our best wide receiver is our quarterback. Because we just don't have quarterbacks. That's what high school football at smaller schools in Ohio is.
Huh.
Like there are a lot of small schools in Ohio. He would be the best wide receiver we have, but he has to play quarterback because we don't have anyone else.
That's it for About Last Night?
Yes, it is.
So I wanted to get to this in About Last Night, but I'll get to it now because this is just a lot of fun. And plus, we talked about Luke Travers. And rightfully so, we need to talk about Luke Travers. There is a story out on ESPN. This is last night. Seth Wickersham, who basically is the writer of everything that comes out in New England that's good, bad, ugly, provocative, drama, juicy, whatever it might be. Seth Wickersham put out a report. The NFL posts that Tom Brady, who is going to be on the call of the Browns and Cowboys next Sunday on Fox's America's Game of the Week, Brady would face TV restrictions as a Raiders part owner. There was a meeting on Tuesday between the owners, and that in a slide on the meeting with the owners, it's called Brady Broadcast Restrictions, because they're moving forward going, well, you might be able to buy into the Raiders,
right,
but there is a lot of restrictions to Tom Brady. And I wonder if this is put out to kind of maybe dissuade Brady from buying into the Raiders or following through on this television contract or the rest of this television contract that he has. Because I want you to listen to this. This is some strong stuff here. It would potentially only affect the 7-time Super Bowl champion. I'm reading directly from Seth Wickersham here. It would not apply to other members of Fox crews. A league source told Wickersham ESPN that owners had raised several questions about conflicts of interest in Brady's potential role. Here we go. Aside from access restrictions, where he would not be able to go to practices or other teams' facilities, he would not be able to be permitted to attend broadcast production meetings, either in person or on Zoom or GoToMeeting or virtually of any kind. He would be prohibited, this is great stuff here, he would be prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs.
So he can't say anything bad about any team he's talking about.
If he is in a Raiders broadcast, he can be as nasty as he wants to about the Raiders.
Just not about the officials and not about their opponents.
Exactly. He better not say anything about the officials, and you better not say anything about the opponent. Now, it says here, while Brady could, in theory, state that he disagrees with the call on air, he would be subject to fines or even a suspension if he went too far.
Suspension from being a Raiders owner? Raiders part owner or a suspension from the Fox broadcast? What kind of suspension are we talking?
I think that would probably be ownership. Now, that can be seen as toothless. Steve Ross had to stay away, quote unquote, for a year from the Dolphins, I think a couple of years ago or whatever it was. It says he would be subject to the league's gambling policy, which is a very strong policy.
Right.
He says he would be subject to the league's anti-tampering policies. He would be permitted only strictly social communication with members of other clubs, according to the slide that the league presented. There is a precedent. Greg Olsen called some games for Fox, including one against the Minnesota Vikings, because the Vikings were an upcoming opponent of the Panthers. Olsen wasn't given usual broadcast crew access. It says Olsen has worked on Fox's top broadcast team since he retired. Brady is going to replace him coming up this year.
Right. So Olsen did, the last couple of years of his career, he did a game for Fox every year, basically during his bye week with the Carolina Panthers, and that's how that happened. Ken, I don't see a world in which Tom Brady is both a part owner of the Raiders and doing Fox broadcasts after this year. I don't see it. I would be very surprised, and I would pick that he's going to be part owner of the Raiders. And this broadcasting is going to be 1 year and done. And then we're talking about Greg Olsen being back where he belongs on the top team at Fox.
Okay, that's fair. Because
Olsen's awesome.
Yeah, Greg Olsen is really, really, really good at it. But I got to tell you, this makes me want to watch the game even more on Fox. Like, I'll be there, but I got to watch it on Fox. I got to hear what he says, because this might be your only one. Like, if they were like, okay, they might watch him and see how critical he might be. Like, hey, let's fast forward this. Let's make him a Raider owner. And then by that time, well, do I even really want to do this?
I don't know
what the restrictions are. I can't imagine, just to get Tom Brady, I can't imagine it's so prohibitive to Tom Brady that it's like a contract he can't get out of or anything like that. I don't know. I'm sure they didn't pay him the $300 million up front.
No, no.
But there was probably a percentage that was given just for the agreement, and then there would be a percentage per game. I don't know any of that, but boy, this is very interesting stuff here that he couldn't say anything, basically, that a critical or a person who was even trying to be nice would do during an NFL broadcast.
And I also think that Tom Brady's going to realize that this takes up a lot more time than you think it takes up. Just because on Sunday, I mean, you see the guy on Sunday who's out there for 3 hours. I don't know that Tom Brady knows everything that goes into being a good broadcaster. I don't. Now, to be fair, Tom Brady, to my knowledge, I think to everyone's knowledge, has worked really, really hard at everything he's ever done and done a great job at it. That's how he's become Tom Brady. But I also think at a certain point, you kind of want to stop having to work so hard. And Tom Brady might be there. I think it makes sense for him.
So
go be a part owner of the Raiders. Don't worry about doing the Fox broadcast stuff, because I don't think it's something he wants to do all that bad anyways. I think if it were, he already would have been doing it. He wouldn't have taken the year off between his playing career and getting in the booth.
What you said is interesting, because Lima has a very unique perspective about this, because it goes all the way, and it sounds like I'm bad-mouthing Lima here. I'm not. But it goes all the way from America's Game of the Week to the games that Lima calls on ESPN, where, no, it's not Greg Olsen or Tom Brady, but you have guys like Randy Buffington. We make jokes because his name sounds like a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
However, Randy Buffington works really hard at what he does. Lima has had other broadcast partners who, one guy ate his breakfast while he was on the air with him. You've had other guys just basically show up and just start texting girls in the area while they were doing games that Lima has witnessed. I mean, there has been some just really
not great stuff.
Abhorrent behavior that Lima's had to deal with here with some of these guys. And I think that some of them just believe that they can show up and I watch football my entire life. I can do this. Like, there's been guys who have not gone to the production meetings virtually, all those other things. Like, Dustin, in his own right, works very, very, very hard at getting all the information, going to see as much practice as he possibly can, giving calls to people of who can help him paint a picture. Like, I think Pitt and Kent, I think, is who he has this week. You know, he's on the phone with Narduzzi as best he can. He knows Pat Narduzzi, so that's going to be good for him. And, you know, with Kenny Burns over there at Kent, I'm sure they'll give him as much information as they can. Tom Brady, you know that, will try to do the same thing, but this is going to throw up a major roadblock. I mean, you cannot, according to these rules here, you just cannot present a broadcast.
No, he's not going to be able to.
Because the people are going to want his unvarnished, strong opinions on these things, because he's had strong opinions in the past.
He's not going to be able to do his job to the best of his abilities with these restrictions in place. If he's not able to talk and gather information the way he needs to do a good show, he's not going to be able to be a good broadcaster. Now, he's still going to be Tom Brady, but I think ultimately that's going to push him out of the booth.
Well, I'm expecting the Tom Brady that I saw on the roast in an NFL version, right? Maybe language is toned down a little bit.
But I would think same, a touch.
That same type of to-the-point, almost cutting remarks, and you're definitely not going to get that if this is the way it's going to be.
Well, he's not going to be informed as he can be. Because you can watch film, but...
Well, he might be informed. He's just going to be muzzled.
Well,
and muzzled broadcasts are something that I have no interest in as a football fan.
Well, you're right about that. But there's also, you know, he might not be as comfortable giving his opinion on these matters because he doesn't know as much. So am I going to throw... Like, if I don't know... there have been things in the past of 13 years. By the way, happy anniversary, August 29th, 2011.
Thank you.
11. Happy anniversary, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, you're still part of the family. I know you came later, but you're still part of the family, all right? I'm sure there's been plenty of things that I've spouted my mouth off, but there is an attempt to try to understand fully what's going on before you go and rip a situation as best you can. And there's been times where, yeah, it's gone a little bit too far here and there.
Well,
him, I think that he's going to want to know everything, because I think he knows fairness and he wants to be as fair as he can to guys that he just got done playing with.
Well, and I think we can relate this to right here. If you had to think about every single word that comes out of your mouth, because not because you're worried about your take, but because you're worried about exactly what you are and aren't allowed to say, do you think you would be able to do as good of a show as you do, or would that be something that hampers you as a broadcaster?
I think it's something that hampers you. But
and I think that's what Tom Brady's going
to
be.
Everybody. Yeah.
So think about, maybe there are some things you can't say sitting in that chair. It's going to be so much more elevated for Tom Brady because of the ownership restrictions.
I think you're right. And honestly, $300 million is a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And I would want to take the $300 million. But if this is an end road into, like, I don't think Mark Davis would ever give up the Raiders. Does Mark Davis even have children? I don't know if he has children or whatever. I don't want to
have children. Come on.
I don't want to speculate yet until I don't.
That style?
Yeah. And he drives a minivan. Does he still drive that caravan?
Well, you got to have children if you're driving a minivan.
What an interesting character. But either way, the money you can make from an NFL franchise over a long period of time would probably supersede a 10-year deal with Fox Broadcasting.
So, I don't think he has children.
I don't know if he has children or not. So, I mean, this could be the beginning of Tom Brady actually owning an NFL franchise, doing a Jerry Richardson, even though the Jerry Richardson situation ended up pretty ugly. This could be the end road to him starting to do that. So it might be prohibitive for him, or it might be something for him that maybe he would want to step away. But he's scheduled to call next Sunday's game against Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Browns against the Dallas Cowboys. And I can't wait, because it might be the one true broadcast he's able to do before he has to go be quiet.
I can't wait to hear it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.